I do think that the New Zealand EU free trade agreement is a big win-win. Great opportunities on both sides. What opportunities for New Zealanders? Well, the New Zealand government estimates that at least $100 million New Zealand dollars on entry into force. Where's that going to happen? I think that's going to happen mainly in horticulture, areas such as kiwi fruit, onions, but also apples, pears, and issues like seafood and wine.
Some implications that have raised concern, for example, regulations requiring exporters to show their products are deforestation free, and some raising questions about what this means for compliance for New Zealand exporters. What would it mean in practice?
Well, thank you. I mean, firstly, on deforestation, clearly New Zealand's not the main target of this type of regulation. This is looking at countries with massive forest areas, and this is only deforestation post-2020. So I don't think that that is going to have a major impact on the opportunities coming up. And, of course, both New Zealand and the European Union are strongly committed to climate neutrality by 2050.
So it's not going to have to be every time we're exporting logs, for example, that you're going to have to tick a box or have any kind of additional red tape?
No, clearly there are going to be some additional compliance costs, but that's not yet going to be into force. So we're looking already on the side of the European Union at exactly how this should play out. And I'm, of course, hearing many voices here in New Zealand expressing clear views. And it's not just New Zealand. There are also issues inside the European Union from our own farmers. So we're looking at how best that can be implemented in practice.
Some environmental groups are also raising questions about the New Zealand government's fast-track legislation currently under consideration by Parliament, and which in some instances bypasses RMA processes, some instances leaves some development decisions, project decisions, in the hands of ministers, and whether this might have implications for the environmental components of the EU trade deal. Do they have a point?
Well, the most important point here is that both New Zealand and the European Union are strongly committed to climate neutrality by 2050. And actually, this deal had the highest approval rating of any trade deal ever in the European Parliament last year. Why was that? Precisely because it has such strong provisions on climate protection. So I think by signing up to this deal, the New Zealand and European Union send a really strong signal to consumers and producers alike that climate neutrality is a really important part of the production process going forward.
But is there a risk that that fast-track process and decisions made by ministers might somehow come into conflict with the deal, or are those suggestions off-beam?
No, I think what's the priority here, look, this is an international obligation the New Zealand government and the European Union have entered into. I'm very confident that New Zealand's going to respect its part of the deal.
All right, Europe Day celebrates peace in Europe. It marks the anniversary, I think, of the Schuman Declaration. It was, to many, the beginning of the concept of what became the EU. Obviously, this year again, regrettably, it falls against the backdrop of the ongoing war in Ukraine and some of the political tension that has unleashed within the Union. Is the EU at a critical juncture?
The EU is an astonishing project of which I'm personally proud to be part of. I think the original conception was, of course, bringing France and Germany together and binding them forever through strong economic and ultimately political partnership. It's so much broader now with the member states of 27. And I think it's an inspiration for those who have strong shared values. And actually what I think is most important in the European Union's relationship with New Zealand is that we're really like-minded partners. It's hard to think on the planet of a more like-minded partner with the European Union than New Zealand.
But that said, New Zealand, as with many nations around the world, is looking on at the situation in Europe at the moment and asking that question: is that union under stress? Is cooperation and support, for example, for Ukraine under stress and likely to be? How do you answer that question?
Well, let's take the war in Ukraine and Russia's brutal and illegal invasion of Ukraine. It's clearly a breach of the United Nations Charter. It's a breach of the basic values of democracy, rule of law, on which the European Union itself is founded. And what I would say is from the very first invasion of Crimea in 2014, right through to the over 2 years of war we've had since 24th of February 2022, the European Union has been very strongly united, all 27 in every decision, and over 13 packages of sanctions and nearly 100 billion euros of investment in Ukraine.
We saw some novelty in one instance with the leader of Hungary leaving a meeting in which a decision, a vote was to be held on the support, subsequently did go ahead. Is that indicative that whatever the differing perspectives within the union and potential levels of interest or alliance between individual nations, it is still finding ways to operate collectively here?
Exactly. I think what's really important is the war in Ukraine is existential, not just for, first and foremost, for Ukraine itself, but also for the European Union, but globally for all of us who stand up for democracy and rule of law. And what you actually see is that every single decision has been taken at unanimity, going back as far as 2014, despite many commentators predicting and Putin himself thinking that that would be impossible.
Right before your role here in New Zealand, if I'm correct, I think you were with the European Commission as part of the Directorate General for Neighbourhood and Enlargement Negotiations. Now, this is the body responsible for whether the EU gets bigger or not. Has the situation with Russia seen a number of states knocking more urgently at the EU's door? And what is the process for entry?
Actually, I spent almost 20 years of my career working on those countries that are aspiring to join the European Union. And of course, we celebrated 10 of them coming in on the 1st of May 2004. That's 20 years. So what's really important is, again, this values issue. If you want to be a member of the European Union, you have to respect those values, democracy and especially rule of law, respect for human rights. And that's what we look at. And we have annual reporting on each of the what we call candidates or potential candidates for membership. So these are countries from the Western Balkans or countries like Ukraine, Georgia and Moldova that are really keen to join the European Union.
I think no country's joined the EU since Croatia in 2013. There's a tentative deadline for enlargement of 2030. Is that the track that some of these applicants are on?
Yes, I think it's not so much the date, it's about demonstrating in actions that they meet the values, and especially these issues of rule of law, democracy, human rights. That's the crucial part. And, of course, an ability to resist the market pressures. It's a very big and competitive single market of 450 million consumers. Before entering that, an economy needs to be sure it's robust enough to take the market forces.
So there might be a desire from a security perspective, but there is a threshold with respect to economic perspectives.
There are. It's important in the interests of the sustainability both of the country itself and of its partnership with other European Union members. It's really important to check that all these criteria and conditions are met.
The EU's given an extraordinary amount of support to Ukraine that it seems will have to continue. The US has finally, recently signed off on some further support. Is it a cost that can continue to be borne by member states?
What's important here is that Ukrainians are fighting and tragically dying in far too great numbers for their own sovereignty and freedom and independence. And this is about basic values. This is about the United Nations Charter. That's something that's important not just for Ukrainians, but for all European Union citizens. And I'm really grateful to New Zealand for stepping up New Zealand's own support for Ukraine. And of course, New Zealand has a very strong tradition of standing with Europe on the battlefield when values are at stake.